oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Push the button, Mark.
Yep.
Cue the music.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to the Dear Lovejoy podcast, which I've got to say, we're really enjoying. This is an advice podcast dealing with all of modern life's problems, big or small. They are all relevant, you know. But please remember, if you are listening to this, I'm not trained to anything like therapy or medicine. So if you're taking advice off me, you're taking advice off a TV presenter, which, let's face it, is a little bit of a strange thing to do. It'd be a bit like walking up to Matt Baker from The One Show and saying, Matt, I've got a rash. How can you help me with this? Which, if you do see Matt Baker from The One Show, you must do that, actually.
You're much better off asking Giles Brandreth.
Giles Brandreth, I've got a rash. Can you help me? Mark is here, that voice you just heard. He's here to keep me in check. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tim. Hi, everybody.
On this week's podcast, we're talking learning to love yourself. Should I or shouldn't I date a certain girl? Tattoos, again, and time management. We do have great listeners, don't we, Mark? We're really enjoying this podcast. They come out with some lovely stuff. So it's growing every week, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of really exciting for us. We get quite excited.
How excited I get when the emails come in and I call you or email and go, look at this!
We've got an email. We've got some more emails. People are listening to
us.
And
they're all really nice. They all seem really nice as well.
Yeah, if you are listening, in years to come, you can say, I was there at the beginning when it was rubbish. Or you might say, whatever happened to that Dear Lovejoy podcast? It was really good. Where did it go? A couple of tweets we've had in. Ashley says, great podcast this week. A personality disorder sufferer, thank you. Good to see awareness being raised. Paul says, really enjoying the podcast. Listen to 4 in 3 days. Expert on the future was fascinating. Well, people are binge listening to us, Mark.
They are.
That's Tom Cheesewright. Listen to that one if you want. He explains all about the future. It was one of our specials when we all lose our jobs, and he explains what we're going to do for work and talking about things like the national wage. And also what was interesting is he talked about politics a bit, and he also talked about how Brexit might not matter. So if you're worried about Brexit, it's worth listening to that one. Got one as well from, who's this one for? Jay, who says, cooking and listening to the Tim Lovejoy podcast. Feel like it's enriching my life with these Buddhist proverbs.
Oh, no.
People are questioning the
validity.
The validity of the Buddhist proverbs. I promise you, they're all genuine Buddhist proverbs from genuine Buddhist people, monks. We're also trying to learn on this podcast as well, so we appreciate as much feedback as possible. If you do have anything to say, then you can email us and you'll get one of our loyalty certificates, which you can print out. How are we getting on with making those certificates?
Good. I've been hand painting them, and I bought a calligraphy set, and I have they're all ready to go. Just need you to sign them.
So for anyone who doesn't know, what we're doing is if you actually get your email, it's not your tweet, it's your email read out on the show, you're going to get a certificate, a loyalty certificate, which we'll email back to you, and you can print out. And I don't
and
know
you can
what
take
it
into
it.
All shops and get discounts. Just go up to anyone and say, look, I've got a Tim Lovejoy's loyalty certificate. Can I have 40% off everything in the shop, please?
Does it work like a Blue Peter badge?
It does, yeah. You get International Trust for free.
I want to go and look at the wildlife. I've got a certificate of Dear Lovejoy Podcast. Our email address is dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com if you want to get yourself a certificate. So we had this guy's getting a certificate because he wrote into us, and I like him for this. He's from Colin Younger, and he says, hey, I keep bees. If you want to talk about bees ever, I can make your ears bleed, Colin.
I like that.
So I don't know whether we want to hear about bees. Do we want to hear about bees? If you want to hear about bees, email us or tweet us and let us know if you want to hear about bees.
And Colin, don't get your friends to email in.
But Colin, I'm a bit worried about bees. They're Mother Nature's dirty secret, aren't they?
What?
I know I'm supposed to like bees, but they say without bees we all die, yeah? That's the big thing they say. The bees are going and the whole system, the ecosystem's going to collapse and we're all going to die. But, see, bees, they have a horrible existence. Bees are an awful example of nature. They have no independence and they have no freedom, Mark. They get given a job and that's it. It's like some terrible George Orwell vision of the future.
So you don't dislike bees, you just feel sorry for them.
I dislike what nature's done with bees, yeah.
Right.
So basically they've got some stuck-up queen who's sat in her hive and then she's sat in the middle of her kingdom, isn't she? And all the other bees are just there to serve her. And there's a hierarchy system. There's the queens, there's the drones, there's the workers. And
Sounds like working on this podcast.
But it's like, for God's sake, some of them are slaves. They do nothing apart from clean the hive and clean the queen and stuff like that. What they need is the Abraham Lincoln bee to come along and free them and sort them out. I look at bees because you watch those nature shows and you go, yeah, it's really good. And then after a while you start thinking, oh, God, it's just a bit, none of it's all just, look, ants are similar, right? If there is a hell, Mark, it's being lived out by insects. They just don't have any independence, do they? They're just like slaves. You're looking at me confused.
I think you should give them more respect. I think they're amazing bees.
Why?
Oh, they're incredible. Right, okay. They pollinate. I've had a quick look at this because you said you were going to mention bees. 75% of all plants and
Where's
flowers.
Where's Colin when we need him?
No, listen. Yeah. Okay, right. Yeah. They make honey, okay? And I looked it up. There's a list longer than your arm of stuff that wouldn't be around if bees weren't here. And I'll read... I'm going to read out a couple.
Yeah,
and
go on.
And you'll change your mind, okay? Right. Almonds. I've seen you eat almonds.
Mm-hmm.
Garlic. I know you use garlic.
Yeah.
Asparagus. I bet you do because you look like the sort of person that eats asparagus. Cherries. I bet you do.
Yeah.
Cucumbers.
Yeah.
Right. And the last one, which I'm going to tell you, will blow your mind.
What?
Apples.
Oh, I love apples.
Exactly.
My favorite food. Yeah, but bees are great, but it's just their existence is horrible.
Yeah, so have to pay them some respect.
We should be freeing them. Rights for worker bees, rights for the drones. I don't know. I just look at it and I just think, if you're born a worker bee, then, you know, it's what humans are fighting against all the time. We want equality, don't we? And sadly, in the insect world. Anyway, Colin, I don't know whether we want to get you on. Maybe we should. I don't know. We'll have a think about it. If you want to hear from Colin, let us know. Anyway, we've also had a follow-up email from TW, who was on last week's podcast. We ran out a problem from TW. It was in two parts. First, he wanted to know if he should give up his job and become a chef. And secondly, he had psoriasis and he was worried about getting intimate with the ladies. We gave our advice and then he wrote to us and he said this, Dear Lovejoy, Mark and Chloe. Because we had Chloe Brotheridge on the show, didn't we? She was talking about anxiety. So he's written to her because she gave her advice as well. Thank you so much for featuring my email on the podcast. I really thought it would have got lost in the system, but I'm very grateful that it wasn't when you started reading it. It gave me certificate smile. Have we sent him a certificate yet, Mark?
It's there to be sent.
It's going. He says, which I might add, I'm still waiting for. Anyway, as a reply to your question, I'm 39 years old, 40 next month, and reside in a subtle but suitable flat in a small town in Wiltshire, and I have no one to support day to day. This is because we're talking about him being a chef. Your suggestion of asking a restaurant to observe its chef is advice I will take, as I know the chef in a pub nearby. But after talking to a friend about it and listening to how Mark says it is, I think I might just continue cooking for myself and friends so that I still have the enjoyment of it. Basically, we said it's really hard work in the kitchen.
I feel a bit bad now.
No, because it was the reality of it, which it is the reality. It's really, it is actually really hard work in a kitchen. Because I did some, I discussed it. It was on last week's podcast about me being a MasterChef and when I ended up doing actual shifts in kitchens. Oh, it's no fun at all. It becomes a bit of a chore. So anyway, it's more, he said it's more about being happy for me and making other people happy. His cooking looked great, didn't he? He sent us loads of
amazing
pictures.
Yeah.
He looked really good. So that's the sort of stuff he likes doing. As for the psoriasis, I've tried to have the same opinion outlook as your friend. Basically, I had a friend who said, it's their problem, not mine. And that's what he said. But it's hard to do. And I always seem to come back to being self-conscious and feeling like I'm being looked at and judged. I've recently taken part in a study, which I'll continue over the next few years, of how people live with psoriasis and how it affects their lives. Hopefully some good will come of it. Yeah, I think it must be one of those really, you know, it's your skin's your biggest organ, isn't it? Your largest organ. And it's like, it's one of those things that, it must be really tough if you have got problems with your skin. You must be so self-conscious all the time.
Well, it's the most visible bit of you, isn't it?
Can I also, he carries on to say, can I also say that Chloe was an excellent guest, full of wonderful thoughts and processes that we'll look into. And she had such a calming voice. She did have a calming
voice. She did.
She's lovely, by the way. She was a really lovely person. We enjoyed having her. I know it's a comedy podcast. What?
What? I beg your pardon,
what?
Sir.
What? 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 Gee. I know it's a comedy podcast and that you have to say you're not trained
in any
way.
It's under society and leisure, I think. The culture and leisure in iTunes. It's not comedy.
And you have to say that you're not trained in any way. You're just DV Tim. But the way you interview people and questions you ask and the questions we want answers to, you seem to have simple questions that everyone thinks they already know but don't make sense. Thank you very much, TW. That's very nice of you to say. So much for me to try to add humour to this email. Anyway, etc., etc. Maybe you could show my recipes to Mr. Rimmer. Thanks again for featuring my email. It made my week. That comes from TW. I read that email during the week and it's been on my mind all week now.
Why?
I haven't stopped thinking about it because I just sort of feel really sorry for him. And I don't want to feel sorry for him because I don't think he wants any of my sympathy. But I just thought, you know, I've been thinking about the psoriasis thing. And I've been thinking about our world and our psoriasis, our society and everything. And I just still think you have to learn to like who you are because you don't have a choice. And I think that is the reality of it. I don't think what you are or who you are is going to change. I know it's so much easier said than done, but we all have to work on our self-worth. I'm working really hard on mine, as you know. That probably sounds quite bizarre because from the outside, I probably look like I'm, you know, doing all right because I'm on telly. TV Tim on telly. But it's probably why I'm on TV because...
Go on. What do you mean?
Well, because, you know... You know, please love me. Please, please love me. I'm going to go on TV and then everyone will love me. And please,
doesn't always work out like that, does it?
Please love TV, Tim. Sadly, social media put an end to that. It was all going so well. I've actually been all right because I produce Soccer M. I used to have to read the emails. So from day one, I've always had my feet firmly on the ground because I've had people being nasty to me from day one. So I was producing and writing that show with the boys and... So people would say nasty things about me. But when social media kicked in,
oh
my God, Jesus Christ. I used to think I'd really thick skin. And I realised I do not have thick skin because it just hurts when people say nasty things about you. And I know they don't know you and they don't know who you are. But subsequently, when someone says they love you, you've got to realise that they don't love you either. They don't know who you are. They just want some contact. But it's quite hard when you've got someone just hammering you and you think, it's not me, I promise you. It's not like that. It's not like that. I don't know. The way I go through life, I'm not the best looking. I'm not the worst looking. I'm all right. So, you know, you just got to kind of... I think the big thing and the thing that I'm... You know, I do just as badly as everybody else. If I'm really honest, is you start comparing yourself to other people. And that's where it becomes hard because you...
Don't compare yourself to Rimmer. He's a fine specimen of human.
he's much more superior. I'll tell you where the worst time it happened. I decided to do a documentary with David Beckham. I don't know if you... Do you remember that?
I do.
So I had to spend some time. Over a period of 3 months, I had to keep on spending time with him. And it's really frustrating because you turn up and not only is he a really talented footballer, and let me tell you this, he does love football. He's not just a shop or a PR machine or whatever anyone thinks he is. He genuinely loves football. That's why I wanted to do the documentary with him because I just met him at a launch of a shop one day, Adidas shop. And he just started talking about football. And there's just this glint in his eye. And I thought, oh, he loves this. And I said, come on, people need to know that he loves his football. But every time I turned up to interview him, he just looked amazing. And he's kind of, you know, I remember getting off a plane to Madrid and he just looks, you know, always looked just incredible. And I used to just think, oh God, I look so ugly in comparison to him. But I turned up, thanks Mark. But I turned up once, right, and I've flown to Madrid. I'm only flying in for a day to do an interview. We're going to go around the Bernabeu, and it's an amazing stadium. We went in there. But I turn up and I'm wearing a white T-shirt, brown sort of tan leather jacket, jeans and trainers or boots or something like that.
Okay, go.
He turns up dressed exactly the same. We've both sort of got longish blonde hair. And it was so funny because I thought he can go and get changed. I can't because my clothes are in London. But what was really bizarre about it is I was interviewing. I think this is one of the great moments here. I'm standing here and I'm going, I went in the dressing rooms and all that. And I thought, this is absolutely fantastic. But I know when this goes out, the only thing my mates are going to do is say, why are you dressed like David Beckham? Lo and behold, the documentary went out. Everyone seemed to love it. But all I got was texts going, look at you trying to dress like David Beckham. Look at you.
I think I remember that now.
Yeah, standing in the middle of the pitch. I think what I'm... How's your self-worth, Mark? We all need to work on it, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think everyone could do. I certainly could.
I'm not going to tell you about David Beckham because it's not fair. But, I mean, you think he's the most secure person in the world. He has problems. We all have problems. Everybody has a problem. So, you know, I think what I'm asking you to do, TW, is bloody hard work and will take years, but you've got to stop comparing yourself. You are who you are. You can't change that unless you want to become one of those very strange people who opt for surgery and turn themselves into cats or something.
Hey, I hadn't thought that's what I should do.
But life is about friendships. And I think if you're just going to meet a girl in a nightclub and go, I want to go home with her, then you've got a problem because that's when the problem might come with psoriasis. But if you're friendly with someone and they know about you and they know who you are and you get that friendship going first, then I'm sure it won't be a problem. I'll tell you what, you've got to... It's the comparison thing, isn't it? It's the problem. I interview a lot of celebrities, as you know, and I can tell you they're not all happy. In fact, a lot of them aren't happy. A lot of them are... I bet the Kardashians are miserable. Do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine their lives? I mean, their lives are just going to be appalling, aren't they, Mark? What do they do with all those clothes?
I don't know, but I know Beckham keeps all his trainers, doesn't he?
No, he gives them to charity, I think.
Does he? I thought he got them all in a warehouse.
Does he?
Yeah.
What about the royal family? Jesus, not for £1 million. Would you have their life?
No.
They're like bees. There's the queen.
No, we're the bees.
Are we?
We're the drones.
There's the queen, and then there's all the people who work for her, but then there's the princes and stuff. They have to go around and do all the bits and bobs, but they don't have any freedom. I tell you what the big thing is for me, though, and I've said this before, but we look at someone like the Kardashians, when they have bodyguards, that to me is when you've failed.
What do you mean?
When you need a human to protect you from other humans, then you've got to take a good, long, hard look at your life and go, this is not right. My life is not good now. So if you're one of those celebrities who has a bodyguard or you're a Russian politician or something like that, and you need all these people to protect you, you've got to start thinking to yourself, maybe I'm not in the right career here. Do you know what I mean? I can't just walk around the streets without someone wanting to kill me. Don't you think that's failure?
I don't think it's failure, but it's, I mean, it shows success in another way. But
in a bad way?
Yeah, in a bad way. Yeah, it's not failure. It's just, it's probably not ideal.
If you hire another human to cook and provide food for you, every day, that is not success either. That is failure in my mind. That is you reverting back to being a baby. I can't even cook for myself. Do you not think that?
I hadn't thought about it, but I suppose you're right.
The famous
does that stretch to cleaners?
No. There's a famous Buddhist proverb, Mark. A man who can make his own dinner is Mother Nature's winner. I actually,
was that like a Buddhist cracker?
it was in one of those things. Yeah.
I met a
genuine Buddhist monk.
On your show,
on Sunday Brunch, yeah, and I bottled it, Mark.
Why? were you going to do a?
No, I had two questions for him. Like, you know, if I was to call myself a journalist, which I'm not, I'm more of an entertainment person, but I bottled it. I had two questions to ask him and I didn't do it because I really liked him and I didn't want him to not like me.
You didn't want to think you were taking a piss or something?
No, it wasn't that. I was just like,
you were stupid.
I just wanted him to really like me. And so there was two questions. And I also didn't want the viewers to think, oh, look at him trying to find an angle. Because what he was saying was so beautiful and so peaceful. And I just wanted him to be my friend. He was wise and peaceful. Do you know the two questions I wanted to ask him?
Go on.
The first one is, I wanted to ask him, he sold 3 million books worldwide.
No wonder he's smiling.
I wanted to ask him what he's done with the cash.
Yeah.
I really wanted to ask him. And the second question I wanted to ask him is it all worth it not to have sex? Because a Buddhist monk, I researched it and looked up, most Buddhist monks have to abstain from sex to reach their higher plane and their higher consciousness. And all
Yeah, a big enough
stuff.
Grin on his face. It looks like it's worth it.
I really enjoy sex. And so I think it would be a really tough thing to give up. And I wanted to ask him about that. But again, I bottled it because I didn't want to ask him. But I'm not talking even about on telly. I wanted to ask him during the ad break or something, but I really like you. I was like a small child. I really like you. He got me to put my hand on my heart and say things. I was like, yeah, I'll do anything. Save me. Save me. Are you going to save me? Are you going to stop the pain and torture I go through every day? Can you make me sleep at night? Let's go on top.
Should we have a break?
TW, be strong. Make your own reality. That's what you've got to do. You've got to forget the reality that's being shoved at you by idiots like me on telly and get your own reality and do your own stuff and have your own, yeah.
And hey, if you want self-worth, you've just had a whole 15 minutes of this podcast dedicated to you.
There you go, TW. Right, let's get on with our first problem. This is a meaty one, Mark. It's like proper agony aunt stuff. Genuinely came in on an email and it's come from
MC, is it?
Yeah, MC. All right, we'll do that. MC. Well, hello, Tim. Sorry, I mean Mr. Lovejoy. I've split from my fiance 2 weeks ago, and my ex, her mate, Mrs. X, have always been close to me. Right, I've just split from my fiance 2 weeks ago, and my ex, her mate, Mrs. X, have always been close to me. We're both single, and I want to take her out, not for sex or point scoring, just have a nice night with good company. Open brackets. I go daft with the lads and we'll end up in a drunken state. Close brackets. I just really need to know if I should ask her or not to become closer to her, or do I avoid massively? Please help! Exclamation
mark. So can you just summarise what that question is? Should he go out with...
He split up with his fiance 2 weeks ago. His ex is on the scene, but his ex is also...
I don't think that's the question. I think the question is, should he go out with...
What?
I thought the question was, should he go out with his ex-fiance's friend?
Yeah, but his is his ex as well.
Oh, man, I didn't
know what he said? Hold on, I dropped it on the floor. Excuse me, I'm just going down. I'm back up. Right, this sentence here. I split from my fiance 2 weeks ago, and my ex, her, there's no punctuation here, so I'm just, my ex, her mate, Mrs. X, so his ex, who's also friends with his ex-fiance. Anyway, look, it doesn't matter what, because the solution's the same. I think that he's trying to convince himself it's all right, basically. It stinks of revenge to me, or if it's not revenge, it stinks of thrill-seeking. One or t'other, because it was only 2 weeks ago. How? I mean, what?
One or t'other? One when or did t'other? This start?
How's that conversation with the ex-fiancé going to go? You know, I know we were engaged to get married 2 weeks ago, but you know your best mate, you know, the one who used to be my ex. Well, yeah, we're just going to go out for a little drink or something. That's not going to go down well, is it, Mark?
No.
No, it's not going to go down well. I'm on your side, mate. MC, because you wrote in, but it's a mess. I'm laughing and I shouldn't be laughing. Let's put some humour into your dilemma. It is a mess. The thing is, there's nothing wrong with you taking this girl for a drink, right? Because he clearly stated, not that we believe him for 1 minute, but he clearly stated he does not want to have sex with this woman. He just wants to go for a drink and some good fun. But she's your ex for a reason. if it was just a friendship thing he was going to do with it, he wouldn't be asking us, would he?
No.
When you've just...
Unless he just wants a certificate.
Oh, they are valuable. They are valuable. Loyalty certificate. Get into national parks for free. When you've just split up with your fiance, I think that you're being trauma, right? No, you will be in trauma. Even if you're the one who did it. They say that splitting up long-term relationship is akin to a bereavement, haven't they? Don't they? So you're basically in no place to make good decisions. It was, remember, the person you were going to get married to, you only split up with 2 weeks ago, MC. You need time. That's what you need. I promise you, mate, do not rush into this. You'll look such a bad man if you hook up with your ex and her mate. Like, even your really good mates would be going, oh, he's had a bit of a stinker there, hasn't he? Oh, 2 weeks ago, we've all booked our suits and everything for the wedding, you know? We've booked our hotel rooms and now he's going out with our mate. You're not going to win, are you? You're not going to win. And just wait a while. Sit it out, wait a while, yeah?
Yeah, like that thing you said about when you want to buy something expensive, leave it for a bit, see if you still want it in a month's time.
Yeah. Yeah, there's
not
no
I'm
rush.
Saying she charges. I wasn't comparing that. I just meant, you know.
Oh, you've added a new angle to it.
Oh, no.
Just wait. Just wait it out. Sit around and wait it out. And there's nothing wrong with going out with your mates for a while. But you don't have to get drunk. Just, I don't know, or just sit and watch the box set for a while. Just give yourself some time. That's what you need to do. Give yourself some time. There's a famous Buddhist proverb.
Oh, not another one.
Mark. Yeah. If it's true love, it will wait several weeks. If it's lust, it'll wear off when you start fancying the new person at work. So what you have to do...
It's another catchy one they've come up with there.
That is.
So I think the problem is they have set themselves a precedent with the other one that rhymed.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? So just give yourself a bit of time. Do you know what? I had a mate who talk about horrible things that you find out. Just think about your fiance, right? She gets the news, you know, I don't know who split up. She split up with you, you split up with her. It doesn't matter, you've split up. But whatever happens, she, you know, she'd have been close to you 2 weeks ago or however long ago. And she gets the news that you're dating her mate. She's going to be absolutely gutted, isn't she? So just don't do that for that reason. Just give it a few months or give it a few weeks at least. I had a friend who got a phone call. She wasn't a friend, some bloke I knew. Sort of friend. He got a phone call off his wife who said... are you sitting down? And he said, yeah, why? I'm busy. She goes, listen, I've got to tell you, I've been having an affair and I'm pregnant with his child. Can you imagine getting that news? It honestly destroyed him and his life. Look after people, especially if you've just split up with them. So, MC, just give it some time. Have you made a Twitter jingle yet, Mark?
It's nearly finished.
Nearly finished.
Yeah, well, because I did show you a prototype of it and you weren't sure. So let's unveil it next week.
So there won't be a jingle here?
We'll just have some silence
just
here.
Just a bit of silence here where the jingle will be. Just imagine there's a jingle here for next week. Yep.
That's great.
At Tim Love.
What I imagined was much better than what I've done.
At Tim Lovejoy is if you want to tweet us some advice or anything. Here's a good jingle. We like this one. Here's some pearls of wisdom, life hacks, things they didn't teach you at school.
TV Tim in the house. Life hacks. Pearls of wisdom. Don't let life mug you off. Mug.
First one. If you meet someone really tall, don't mention it. It will be refreshing for them. Saying that, if you have a really tall person round, make sure you dust up high as they have a different viewpoint from you. No one likes a messy house. Stop laughing. That's not fun. That's good. Is that not good? Mark, speak to me. Is that not good?
Fine, yeah.
It is, because tall people, every time you meet a tall person... People go, God, you're tall. They must get so bored of it. If you're writing a controversial text message, write it in notes or somewhere else, then cut and paste it into text or WhatsApp to ensure you, A, don't send it half written, B, you don't send it to the wrong person. It's the same with emails. Put the email address on last. Always wait until the next day, sorry, if it's an angry email or text. anger can always wait a day. Have you done that, Mark? Sent anyone? I've done it twice in my life. Sent people. I'm not going to mention it because it's they.
No.
I've done it twice. I've sent text.
I think that's a very. I do that.
Text if it, the if wrong it's person a sort of, or
it's
email.
One that you have to, if you have to think twice about something, think twice about it.
Yeah.
It's that always thing, good.
But have you done that where you've replied to someone or you've sent it to the wrong person or you sent it only half done or something like that? Oh, I've done it.
No.
I've done it. I've even tweeted once a picture of myself in underpants by mistake. which is supposed to be
oh,
a
I
text.
Do remember that.
That was so embarrassing. Can I just say, right, I was sending a picture to my ex-girlfriend of me in my lucky pants and I was trying to text it to her and I tweeted it.
How did you get them mixed up? That's what I never
because you're just tired and you go quickly and you just did it because that's
what
happened.
But they look so different, Twitter. And
I know. I don't know how. But then the panic set in and the panic went, what do I do? Do I go, I've been hacked, I'm doing all this sort of stuff.
Oh,
and I,
no.
Yeah, no, no, because you do. You go, oh, I just say I've been hacked, I've said this, I've said this. And eventually I just sat there and I just went, oh,
yeah, you've got to take it.
Got to come clean and just take it. And it's the best thing you can ever do. If you ever do anything like that, just come clean.
It's great, though. If you want to find it, it's still on Google.
No. Do you know what? There are some celebrities out there who put some dodgy stuff on Twitter and gone, yeah, it's hacked. No, it's not. We all know it's not.
At least you were wearing your pants.
Yeah, at least I was wearing my pants.
You didn't see little Timmy.
What's funny, though, is it's just not the sort of thing I'd do at all. Simon Rimmer, he was crying with laughter. He was absolutely...
I think I'd nearly ruptured something laughing at that, to be honest with you. I texted you straight away going, you do know you've tweeted a picture of you and your kecks on it.
All right. Oh, I was so mortified. You know how you watch tigers or lions in the zoo and they pace up and down.
Certainly.
I was pacing, going, go inspiration. How can I get out of this? Because what happened is I deleted it immediately, but already it was out there in the.
Oh, it'd been saved. There's something you can save that. Go right when you see something like that, people save it immediately and go, yeah, here we go.
It's when people tweet you going, are you all right? It's like,
I'm not having a break. This isn't a cry for help.
Oh, I'm blushing now just thinking about it. I can't stop it. It's just, I'm so glad I came clean though. Otherwise, I didn't want it to be a dirty little secret, right? Final one. If in doubt, always dress smarter than necessary. You can always relax smart clothes and it makes you look classy. Mark, have you ever had that dilemma? You're going somewhere and you don't know whether to dress smarter or dress up or dress down?
I missed it completely.
Oh, Mark.
I was looking for that picture.
If in doubt, always dress smarter than necessary. You can always relax smart clothes and it makes you look classy.
Oh, yeah. No, I never dressed. Yeah, no, I agree.
Okay. Now, Mark, you laughed at one of my pearls of wisdom the other day. Not the smoking one, another one. The one where if you want to lose weight, turn the heating off, sit naked on the sofa and let nature do its work. Well, it turns out that I was sort of right.
Right.
Because there was an article this week, I noticed, that it says here, the headline, open your bedroom window at night to prevent obesity and type 2 diabetes, said Oxford professor. Open your bedroom window at night to allow a cool breeze could be simple if chilly weather preventing obesity and type 2 diabetes, an Oxford University academic has suggested.
Well,
Oxford University.
That hasn't worked for me in my years. I always keep the window open.
Professor of endocrinology, Ashley Grossman, said... Gross. Look at his surname. That's fantastic. Ashley Grossman said there was mounting evidence that cooling the body, even by just a couple of degrees, was beneficial to health. And if I get to that bit, if I can just find it, excuse me as I just read through this.
Read the paper.
The body needs to burn less brown fat to keep warm. That's what's happening. If we're all staying too warm, leading to insulin sensitivity and weight gain because we're not burning enough brown fat. So, Mark, if you do want to lose weight, why don't you try sitting on your sofa, nudie doody, with the windows open and the heating off?
Oh, did you want a response?
Yes.
Okay, Tim.
All right, let's move on to our next problem. This one's also an email, and it comes from James. He says, Dear Lovejoy Podcast, I have a project that I really want to complete, which is to write up a book of my travels. Well, that sounds good. I have the first chapter done to great reception, but with working my main job and working a second self-employed job, I'm struggling to find time to fit it into my schedule. Do you have any tips on freeing up the time? Well, we need some answers here, I think, James. Why do you have two jobs, first of all, I suppose? Do you need the money? Could you reduce it down? Can he get his monthly expenditure down so he has one job? Is your second job for love or cash? Because one's employed and one's self-employed by the sounds of things. Whatever the time is, you need to... Look, basically, you need to make time for your project, don't you? If it's a love, which he clearly is doing it, he has to make time for it. You have to work out what's important to you, and you need to be able to find 4 hours at least a week to work. How long does it take to write a book?
That's a how long is a piece of string question.
Yeah, but I wonder how long it does take. I wonder how many hours. What do you reckon it is?
I mean, you just asked me a question I can't answer.
This is important.
You can't Google how long does it take to write a book.
I can and I will. Here we go. How many hours? Hold on. How many hours does it take to write a book? Not the fastest typing in the world, isn't it? How long does it take to write a book? How long does it take to, a novel? A novel. 736 hours. So he needs to do more than 4 hours a week then, doesn't he? Otherwise it's going to take him years. Mate, you need to just give up one of your... I tell you, that's a lot of... That takes a lot of time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's a big commitment writing a book. Basically, James, what we've worked out there is it's a very big commitment to write a book. So this is basically... time is a mathematical equation. There's 24 hours in a day. There's 7 days a week. You need to write down where all your hours are going and work out which ones are important to you. You definitely need 8 hours sleep. Then you need to distribute the other 16 around, and you need rest time in there because you can't operate full for 16 hours. So you need sleep, 8, and then you need some rest time. Always remember, though, with your week, once you've got it, because your week's always packed, right? Because that's the nature of weeks. That's how they work. You can't not have time. Time exists, and it's there 24 hours of a day, 7 days a week. So you have that time. So if you add Spanish lessons to your week, something's got to give, right? So you add to your Spanish lessons, Mark. Your temp in bowling might have to stop because you've had your tenant, you know. What you've got to do is you've got to do, you know, I'm serious about this, James. You've got to sit down with a pen and a piece of paper and a little graph and you write in 8 hours a night. Just do 8 hours because that's what everyone says you need for sleep. Don't tell me you're Thatcher and you can do it in 4 or 5. How many hours do you get, Mark?
Eight, easily. Over sometimes. I go to bed really, really early.
Do you?
Like basically after dinner.
Put in 8 hours, okay, and then put in family time because you need family time, write in that. Then do rest and relaxation, then put in work, and then whatever's left over, you have to distribute out to your book and to your other jobs and to your hobbies, and that's where you got to go, right, lion's share's got to go to the books, I want to finish this book. So you might have to give up your Spanish lessons for a couple of years.
Also, there's a few steps I thought of when I read this that might help with the procedure of actually organising his time. And I was thinking, well, A, you've got a second job, so can you afford to stop? So if the answer is yes, carry on, right? Talk it through with your partner. When I left the job, the full-time job I was doing to do that, when we talked about the other day, I was going to a freelance job. I talked it through with her, and if she was going to be supportive, yes, so... Cool, did that.
He doesn't have a partner.
Does he not?
Well, I don't know. He's not mentioned it.
Well, I said if he has a partner, so.
Yeah, okay.
And then write a treatment or a pitch and see if people are interested in publishing it first. Have you got an agent? Because people don't receive, don't people don't accept.
You can self-publish. No, I don't agree with you.
Okay, well, let me finish.
Yeah.
If you've got an agent, because people don't, publishing houses don't accept unsolicited scripts. So all these things, if you... The more you get into it, the more you'll want to do it. The more you'll free up time to do it. Want to do it.
But don't be
because it will become a reality. No, it's a positive thing.
Oh, okay.
No, absolutely not.
J.K. Rowling spent a long time before she got her book published, didn't she?
No, I've got a load of mates who write and they do books, and this is all the processes. And
yeah, you don't have to do those processes. You can do your own process. Everyone said I could never work in TV. I did. You just do your own stuff, you know. And you can self-publish now if you love the book. I know what you're saying, Mark. But I just think.
But you want to make it reality. No, I'm saying you've got to make it reality, so that you get more impetus to do it.
Okay, but just don't ever let anything put you down.
No,
just keep going. Just get, if you've got to write, just write the book and keep touting it around until someone loves it. And just, and the best thing to do is go and say to people, can I have some help? People yeah. love helping people.
That's what I mean. That's really what get, good. You know, talk to agents. Yeah. Talk to people. Write a pitch. See if people like it. See what your mates think.
Yeah.
Think and of it, think of a USP.
Thing is, James, if you love it, you've got to do it. That's what Mark and yeah. I are saying. We're having a little bit of a row here, but you know.
I don't like your tone, mister.
We're generally saying that, which brings me on to rather an interesting point, because I enjoy doing this podcast. Do you, Mark?
I do. Yeah.
I love doing it.
Oh, stop twisting my arm.
But we're not making cash out of it, are we? We're just doing it for the love of it at the moment. Hopefully one day. If anyone wants to sponsor this, by the way, by all means, you can give us some cash to sponsor it. We don't care what it is. But we're just doing it because we enjoy doing it. So this is the, if you got offered a job, right? It's a full-time job, or it's, you know, you have to travel a bit. What are you going to do about Dear Lovejoy podcast?
Well, make time to do it.
Well, what if you, what, yeah, but what if the job's like, you know, they want 12 hours out of you a day, hold on, you've got to go and write it in Spain. You've got to go and do some work in Spain. What are you going to do then?
I'll take you with me, Tim.
But I've got a job here and I've got to do. What are we going to do?
Yeah, on Sundays.
What are we going to do? How committed, Mark, how committed are you?
Listen, why are we having this discussion, Mark, on the podcast?
Mark, the listeners love you. You can't leave us. Mark, why are you even contemplating leaving us? I can't believe you're doing that. I'm really sorry, listeners, but I'll find someone else.
I'm taking my jingles with me.
Speaking of which, if you've got an email, this is the email address.
If what you want to ask is just too long for Twitter, don't stress. We've got an easy to remember email address. This is the reason for this overly long song. It's dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com.
I think we helped James out anyway. Basically, you've got to go for it, mate. Time management. Let's get on to our agony aunt. This is where I read out a email from an agony aunt. She gives her answer. I give mine. I give mine first, and she gives hers, and we see who does the best answer. This is a short one. Who's this one from this week, Mark?
This is Dear Abby again. Dear Abby. My favourite.
You like Dear Abby, don't you?
Yeah, well, they're always succinct, and they're interesting.
What does Abby look like? I imagine her.
Don't know. I think...
Oh, is there not a picture of her?
There is, but I think she was like the very first ever agony aunt, so I'm assuming that maybe she's dead, and it's other people writing under
so
this.
I thought you meant, you know, that they were doing it through seance or something. They got Derek.
You genuinely look really excited then. Like,
they got someone, Russell Grant.
No, that's Mystic Meg.
Mystic. Hold on. You can't write for a dead person. That's
They write for the.
I don't get
that with, film critic. They
I don't
do,
get
don't
that
you?
With fashion designers. Right, they have a label, and then the fashion designer dies, and the label carries on, and you're thinking. Yeah, but they haven't designed it. I don't get it. I know it's a team of people who design under them, but I'm like, the label surely can't exist.
But there's still a film critic. Is it Ebert? Roger Ebert, the famous film critic.
Oh, I don't know this.
Yeah, yeah. He died. He had a really unpleasant death. But he still puts out reviews under his sort of estate.
But that doesn't make any sense. Okay, what did he die of, you say?
Well, it was a really nasty throat cancer.
Oh, I see, okay. Yeah. Well, this comes from Abby, who might, if you are alive, Abby, I'm really sorry. Mark's got you as dead, which is a big problem. But if you are still alive, right now, this is it. This is the problem. While dining in a fancy restaurant recently, I noticed a woman sitting a few tables away who had a number of tattoos on her arms and elsewhere. When she came by, I politely asked her what one of them meant. My wife was furious. Did I do something wrong? Oh, Mark, that's the problem. This is tattoo etiquette, and I don't know. I do not know this at all, because I look at people's tattoos.
But you're quite inquisitive. You're quite curious. You you ask people questions about stuff.
Yes,
quite a lot.
I literally 2 weeks ago, I was in a coffee shop.
You've actually
shop.
Done this?
Yeah, and the bloke serving me had this sort of like a gecko or some sort of lizardy type thing on his neck. It looked kind of cool. And I said to him, hey, that looks good. And I said, when did you get that? He goes, oh, I got it years ago when I was a kid. When you got it when you were a kid? And he went, yeah, I didn't think about it. And I just went, oh, what did your parents think about it? And he went, oh, I'd just run away from my foster parents at that stage. So I didn't, you know.
Oh, no.
And I just went, oh, no, hurry up. Oh, no, the floor open up, swallow me. But he was so sweet because he came over later and went, I went, don't worry about that, by the way. He said, you know, you were just interested. He said, yeah, it's not your fault. I don't know.
You must have gone crimson.
Oh, God, I was so embarrassed. But it was a really cool tattoo. But I don't know, I have a friend who's covered in tattoos. But they are hers. She's got them all up her arm and all the way going down onto her back and everything.
What do you mean they're hers?
They're hers and she doesn't want you to have anything to do with them. And the first time I met her, yeah, I know you're looking at me weirdly. I went, oh, let me look at that tattoo. And she had long sleeves. She goes, get off. They're mine. And I spoke to her about it and she said, it's mine. I own this. It's my body. I own it. And then she's come from quite a troubled background. And her body is something that she owns. We've discussed this before on the podcast. You own your body and your body is important to you. And she hated people saying, let me look at your tattoos, because she was like, they are mine and I want to just own them and I don't want you to have anything to do with them. So that's where tattoo etiquette, I don't know whether you're allowed to mention it or not.
Probably not. With the cases, with that one, the two that you've just said, and that one from the agony aunt. I mean, there's three examples right there that you've come up with.
But then someone has a nice tattoo and you start talking about it. And we sometimes love talking about it. I'd love to, if you've got tattoos, let us know, you know, what you think. Do you like people to come and talk to you or are they yours? Are we not allowed to? I mean, I don't have any tattoos. Mark doesn't have any tattoos. I don't know whether it's something you're allowed to talk about or not.
Was she covering them up, the ones on your friend?
They were, well, what happened is they were, when I went to look at them, they were poking out of her, she was wearing a long sleeve shirt.
Oh, right.
Poking out onto her hand, because they came all the way out onto her hand.
Right.
Then up. I must say, this was about 10 years ago, and it was prior sort of Beckham and everybody else getting full sleeves and stuff. So it was quite an unusual thing. And she was very protective over them at all. And it was all about her and her body. I don't know, it's kind of that weird thing that for some people, tattoos, we discussed this on a few weeks ago, tattoos mean so much, I think. I think if you want to be safe, don't mention it.
Yeah.
However, if you have got a tattoo and people come up and start talking to you, you can't not do it. If you've got a great big beard down to your chest and someone says, hey, look at your beard, I like your beard, you can't go, I don't want to talk about it, it's my beard, can you? It's just people making conversations. So, you know, well, I don't know. Mark?
I'd say don't mention it. It's never going to lead to that much of an interesting conversation either, is it? It's a tattoo at the end of the day. It's like saying, nice shirt.
Nice shirt.
Yeah.
Where
does that conversation go? Thanks.
I don't know, because I think if it's a beautiful tattoo or it's a nice tattoo, it's a way of sparking conversation. There was a book I read years ago, actually, online, How to Get Dates or something. What was it? It wasn't online. It was like there was this famous book. Oh, I can't remember. It was a book about how to pull men or women. And it always said, wear something. Or did I watch it on telly? Oh, my memory's getting worse. We need to get someone on about memory. That's what we need to do. But what I remember listening to it and they were or watching it or reading it. And they said, if you wear something extraordinary, it's always an icebreaker. So if you go out with a novelty shirt on or something like that, then people will go, hey, look at you in the novelty shirt or something like that. So maybe that's it's a way of opening up conversation with other people. I don't know. Anyway, my advice to this fella is, did I do something wrong? No, you didn't do something wrong.
Just don't do it in the future.
No, I don't. You can do it. I'm sorry. I just think you've got to, unless I get told off by people with tattoos, I think you should be allowed to speak to anybody about anything if you can visually see it. I think touching.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a scar? Or burns?
Oh, dear.
No, Mark. No.
Mark, now you've, yeah. But
just don't ask people questions about stuff about themselves,
yeah.
Then.
No, but
it's like people talking to me on the bus. I don't want to. Just leave me alone.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know now. You've confused me. I know I want to be a. I really want.
I think you might lose this round this week.
I really want to be a good agony aunt, Mark. But I'm failing here miserably. I just don't know. I really don't know on this one, because I think you should be. I'm not going to stop asking people about their tattoos. And I suppose I'll suffer. I think you're not allowed to touch people. Let's say that, right?
I just take that as a given, surely.
So if someone has a tattoo, you can't. Do you like being touched, by the way? I just get really annoyed when people keep touching me.
You have to point that out. Don't go up and touch people.
Well, you know, if they've got a tattoo, you can't pick up their arm and go, let me have a look and see if it goes under the underarm, pick it up and start exploring. Or if it goes down the back of the T-shirt, you can't pull out the neckline and go, oh, let's have a look down there.
I told you I was going to do that jingle. Tim points out the bleeding obvious. I might have to actually make that.
Which, you know, some people have to be. Some people have to learn. You can't just touch people, right? So I don't know. Yeah, no, you're fine. God, get on with it. You're fine. If as long as you don't touch them, you can say what you want. What's the answer, Mark, from Dear Abby?
She says.
hold on. Can Abby, are you there?
I am.
Are you there?
She says tattoos often have.
We're editing this bit out.
No, we're not.
People aren't going to like us if we do this. Come on.
stop laughing. I'm trying to read.
Go on.
She says tattoos have deeply personal meanings to the wearer.
That's what.
Although some individuals might welcome the opportunity to explain them to a stranger.
Yeah.
Others would not, because that tat may commemorate a personal or sad milestone.
Oh.
Your wife may have become upset because she felt the question was presumptuous.
Mm.
She's,
so yeah, what's she saying? Yes or no? She's saying no.
Saying,
don't do it.
Don't do it.
Oh, yeah. Mm. If you're a tattoo wearer, if you're a person with tattoos, let us know what you think. Can people come up and ask you about their tattoos? Are you happy about it or you're not happy about it? Let us know what you think. Usual stuff. DearLovejoyPodcast@gmail.com or at Tim Lovejoy on Twitter. Let us know. We'd like to know what the tattoo etiquette is. We could share it with the world. We could share
Tattycut.
Tattycut. Yeah, that's good. Well done. Well done, Mark. Well, how are we doing for time?
We are running massively over. I think we should.
Leave it to next week. Yeah, I've got one, but we'll leave it to next week. It's about a car.
It's the one on Twitter. Yeah, leave that
to next
week.
I've got quite a few about cars and about buying stuff and stuff. So I've got some good answers to that. But let's leave it. Should we leave it for next week?
Yeah.
Don't want to bore people, do we?
No.
Don't want to bore. don't want to go on too long on this. All right. Well, listen, thank you very much for joining us. We'll do that one next week. That came from Toonie. So we'll do Toonie's next week. It's the end of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have a problem, you want to comment on anything, especially if you have tattoos or you think we've got anything right or wrong, let us know. We'd like to learn. The podcast, the email address is dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com, or you can tweet me at Tim Lovejoy. Press the subscribe button so you get it every week. We're going out every Monday now. Which we're enjoying doing, so you can pick us up every Monday, listen to us during the week, and you can also rate us, but only rate us if you're going to say nice things. I don't know how the rating works. I've never rated anything. Have you rated anything on iTunes?
Yeah, you just press 5 stars.
Just five. Yeah, well, just press
five stars. If you're not going to rate something you don't like, you just stop listening to it, don't you?
Yeah.
Just be nice or don't say anything at all. That's what my mum said.
Oh, that's it. Good advice. That rate us 5 stars. Thank you very much. We'll speak to you all next week. Bye.
Bye.
Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it. Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cash back is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on 12/2. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.